Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Often in prayer, we ask God to help us to understand. And it is proper that we so ask, James 1 and verse 5. We believe God will help people in everything that is right. Understanding His Word is essential before we can do as He directs. And who can measure the error and the confusion caused by a lack of understanding? As in everything else for which we pray, we must also cooperate with God and put forth our effort. God does not miraculously grant us the knowledge and the wisdom and the understanding that we need. And we do not even profess to know what all are the ways of God in answering prayer. But we know that we must do our part and not be content to expect God to do everything while we do nothing. There are things that we can put to use that will help us to do our part, and we want to consider a few of these. One requisite to understanding is the expectation to understand. It's unfortunate some would leave the impression that we can understand God's Word. But Paul wrote, "Whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ." Ephesians 3 and verse 4. Again he taught the Ephesians in chapter 5 and verse 17, "Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." We should expect to understand. Many regard the Bible as a sealed book with an unsolvable mystery beyond the ability of mortals to ever know without a special and direct intervention from God. Others think that understanding belongs exclusively to a so-called clergy. Why, neither thought is true. Paul told the Ephesians they could understand. Timothy had knowledge of the Scriptures since childhood. The epistles that were written were to be read before the whole church for all to hear. And why should this be done if understanding was beyond them? Is God so unjust as to give us a message on which our salvation depends and then make it beyond our ability to understand it? We must rid ourselves of this nonsense that has caused millions to remain in darkness when they could have had the light of the glorious gospel open to them. And we also need to have the desire to understand the truth. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. 1 Peter 2 and verse 2. Friend, how genuine is your ambition to know the truth? Some study the Bible just to prove their point against others. Some may study so they can show somebody else to be wrong. Others study trying to find justification for some view they already hold and to protect their prejudices or some of the less than honorable reason. We must study with open minds, willing to accept the evidence, willing to be convinced, ready to sacrifice whatever is necessary in order to hold fast the truth. And if we're not careful, we will be guilty of reading into the Bible what is not there, rather than reading out of the Bible what God has placed there. Honesty and sincerity in our study should be coupled with the desire to know God's will. And some confusion may arise from this next suggestion, but consider the entire point. Good common sense is necessary to understanding the Scriptures. Someone has said, "If one lacks secular knowledge, let him ask his fellow man. If he lacks religion, let him ask God. If he lacks common sense, he's out of it." Without common sense, we shall not be able to understand much of anything on any subject. And what is common sense? One said, "Common sense is the kind of sense without which all else is nonsense." But we use the term with reference to the ability to consider and weigh evidence, and to draw a consistent and intelligent conclusion from that evidence. It includes the ability to discern between truth and error on the basis of biblical revelation, Hebrews 5 and verse 14. It enables one to be able to see harmony between ideas and disharmony where it also exists. Without common sense, one could not see the difference between Christianity and the Muslim religion. We may learn facts and figures, quotations and names, but without the ability to assimilate and to apply our knowledge in a reasonable sequence, we will not be able to understand. Many people know a lot about the facts and the figures, the quotes and the names of the Bible, but lack understanding because they lack reasoning ability. To have understanding of the biblical message, we must recognize it is the inspired Word of God. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. And unless we believe this, we will never have any reason to believe that it is true. If you receive a letter, allegedly from the president of the nation, but you believe that it came from somebody else, it's not going to mean very much to you. Without the confidence that the Bible is the Word of God, there will be little motive to investigate it, to apply it, to believe it, or even to respect it. Nobody will respect personal responsibility to its demands if they have doubts about its origin and whether it really came from God. To read simply from idle curiosity or to find fault or to search for alleged flaws rather than respect it for what it claims to be will cloud the mind and the understanding will escape us. That the Scriptures are inspired of God can be demonstrated with a study of the evidences. Now, we do not just here present those evidences, do so in other lessons, but only take note of the need to respect the Word for what it claims to be. And mental industry is essential to proper understanding. So many want something so easily poured in rather than anything that takes effort to dig out. Mental exertion seems to be too much for some people. They had rather die and go to hell than exert effort. Gaining understanding of the Bible, like other subjects, requires study. Paul said, "Study to show thyself approved unto God." That's Paul's admonition in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15. An occasional, haphazard, irregular, brief scanning of the Bible will profit little. It does take intense study, meditation, regularly done, continuously, over long spans of time. Too many are too mentally lazy to go to heaven. They will not use their minds and study the Bible. Others are mentally alert and active, but rather study other things to the neglect of the Bible, and then sometimes wonder why they seem to have such a flimsy grasp of the Scriptures. Mental exertion is more difficult and taxing and tiring and exhausting than physical exertion when compared on a time basis. The unwillingness to apply oneself mentally will deprive us of needed understanding. We urge that each one try to set a time, however brief, for regular, sincere, daily, respectful study, even if only a passage or two. Take advantage of classes and sermons and books. Investigate. The effort is more than rewarded as the light of truth dawns around you. Your knowledge and your understanding will expand. And there should be purity of mind, by which we mean a sincerity. In Luke 8 and verse 15, "But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience." A mind given over to sin, that attaches double meanings to everything they read, that seeks the unchaste and the sensual and the evil of this world, will not likely explore the revelation of God honestly. Rather, they, if they consider it at all, will project their own evil into everything they read, giving a slanted and distorted picture to what God tells us. The carnal corruption in the mind of many prevents a grasp of the purity of the truth. It is possible for one to become so hardened in sin that even the truth of God cannot make an impression. Yes, there are valuable aids to help us in Bible study, such as Bible dictionaries and concordances and commentaries by faithful brethren, a sermon book. These things will help us to cultivate a hunger and thirst for righteousness. A good education helps. knowledge of the language and grammar and the meaning of words and enlarged vocabulary, all of that will assist us. Knowledge of history and logic and geography and customs, similar things to that, gives us a better opportunity to come to an understanding of the biblical message. Many parables simply could not be understood without such information about the times and the practices and the customs of the period under consideration. Young people, as well as older, ought to be encouraged to go forward with their educational processes so that they can be better teachers, better preachers, better parents or elders or deacons, people of service to those around them. They will not only produce more materially than they could otherwise, but they can be used to further the cause of Christ. They will make more productive citizens. They will be brighter lights in the world of darkness. They will know how to make intelligent decisions. They'll be better able to assist other people in the problems that arise in life. Now, we would not wish to leave the impression that a secular education is the answer to man's ills. This we do not believe. In fact, we forthrightly would deny it. We're simply suggesting that a good education along the lines that I have mentioned will help us to investigate the Bible more intelligently. We're also aware of the danger and the destruction a skeptical education is in understanding God's truth. Nor does one have to be a professor of degrees to be able to know and to understand what God wants. We wish to emphasize that by no means would we indicate that one without formal education or one who is not advanced in schools cannot learn the truth, and that he cannot be a Christian, and that he cannot go to heaven when he dies. It simply means that an educated person is better equipped to do the mental exercise that is required in coming to an understanding of the Scripture, generally speaking. There will be exceptions. There have been many exceptions. Some with many degrees after their name are far from understanding. And one who cannot even read and write can understand when taught. But without the basic skills to investigate and comprehend, one is handicapped. Education of the right sort is a blessing. Education that makes a man think he has graduated to be a god will damn his soul. Do we really want understanding? Are we sincere in that desire? Do we pray that God help us? Well, are we doing our part? Let us put ourselves wholly to the task. Paul prayed that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. Ephesians 1 and verse 18. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.